It's a once upon a time story of this lovely family. Now, I'm going to pray and just pray for everyone born in the month of February. But to encourage everyone here who is watching from wherever you're watching from, whatever your expectations are, you know, we have been looking at God's good and perfect gift starting from this month of February. And the story you're seeing right here actually has is very deep. The picture you're seeing right in front of you. I don't know, is my video, are we still on? Okay, we're still live.
Yes, we are.
Okay, we are still live. Now, I think there's a saying about pictures. They say pictures don't lie. At times, pictures lie because these days you have Photoshop and all that. But everything you've seen there is not Photoshopped. For everyone born in February, let this picture tell you a story and paint you a vision. Now, I don't want to just celebrate my personal GP. He looks after me. I will highly recommend him to you, you know, to go and consult him, but just pay him his dues, all right? Okay. Now, this, I can't celebrate him without the person beside him. I tell you something, when the saying says beside a successful man, there is a pleasantly wonderful, gorgeous woman. So I don't want to just celebrate my GP. I want to celebrate the whole family. The wife, Dr. M4 plus X, you know. I know she's nodding her head wherever she is. Dr. M4, Mama 4 plus X, right? Now, this is a family we're privileged to know. Wonderful, lovely, awesome family. And to see how God took them from, you know, starting little. The first picture you see to your left of your screen, I think it was around the time maybe they got married or they were still, I don't know, whatever they were doing there, but you can see the faces. But they did have a challenge. I'm trying to remember how many years it was, where they were trusting God to have children. And then somehow, as things will be, at times you can't explain these things. Things got worse. Dr. David Patrick, that we're celebrating today, suddenly had a life-threatening condition. He had to battle cancer. I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying this because we have to celebrate what God has done. You know, you can imagine the challenge, delay, married for years, no children, and then your husband was diagnosed with a life-threatening, you know, condition. But, you know, I thank God for the faith of his wife and the faith of himself too, because it takes two to agree. They confronted this with the grace of God, battled, and by the grace of God, all in the clear. And you can see the middle picture, they're smiling there. And then before you knew it, God blessed them with Chizara, and that's the lovely young girl, lovely young woman that welcomed us at the start of the service today. Zara, you've got to go and bake Dad a cake. I said that, and I mean it. You must bake Dad a cake. All right, so Zara shows up. And then before you know it again, we had Daniel and Gracie. They just showed up from nowhere. From one, you know, from two to three, and then three plus two became five. And then, you know, we were just thinking that was a pause. And let me say to somebody, if the doctors have told you menopause and you are still believing God for children, in the name of Jesus, God will take that pause off. God has not put a stop. and God will meet you at the point of your need. So the story goes on. And then here comes the twins. And then, you know, we thought there was a pause. There was no stop. And then there shows up Nathan. That's my man, Nathan. Lovely family. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for everyone born in the month of February. Everyone, look at this picture. Whatever sphere, whatever domain, you will increase on every side. For everyone born in February, I say you will increase in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your increase, your expansion, your enlargement has come. The plans, the purposes of God, the perfect will of God for your life, for your family, for everything that you are trusting God for, you will increase. You will go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5. It will be an upward multiplication. It will not just be an addition, but multiplication on every side in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you today. The Lord give you a gift that no one can give you for his glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate everyone born in the month of February. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Right now, I will stop sharing my screen. I don't know what I'm looking like, but I think I'm looking funny. But all the same, to bring us the word of the Lord today, I want us to celebrate a man of God, an apostle of cruise control. We call him Pastor, Doctor, Evangelist, Bishop Cruz, the husband of one wife, the husband of Yeti Cruz. Please, he's bringing the word of God to us today. Pastor Cruz Damola Ade Lucy is in the house. Please, let's welcome him. Damola, I get out of the way. What is the Lord saying? God bless you, sir.
Good morning, church. Good morning, Pastor. And thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak to everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you're watching. And it's a lovely day. It's the day that the Lord has made. And we will be glad and we will rejoice in it. So let us just go into a quick word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us, Lord, into your presence to hear of your word again. We ask, O Holy Spirit, that you speak into our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let your word be clear. Let it be direct. Let it reach our hearts, O Lord. Let it sow a seed that will germinate and will bring forth good fruits in the name of Jesus. In Amen. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So welcome to today's service. I just wanted to just relax and get ready for a great time in the presence of God. So it's February, it's our first Sunday of the month, and we are looking at a good and perfect gift, a good and perfect gift. On Thursday, our dear brother, Ayobamishile, started with us, and he led us in a path. But before we start and we get into the word, I would just like us to have a Bible reading from Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. Just to be able to have a quick reading of the word of God. And I pray that the word of God will bring light to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in the bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of the shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's our Bible reading for today. And the key focus is on that verse 13, where Jesus was saying that if you then, as humans, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Amen. And I'll just quickly do a recap of what our brother taught us on Thursday. He explained to us that the perfect gift from God is the gift of Jesus Christ, the salvation on the cross of Calvary. Mm. We learned about the fact that Christ is the perfect gift of God to the world, and that we did nothing to deserve the gift. Because even while we were yet sinners, as Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, Christ paid the price for our salvation and the redemption of our souls. If you read Psalms 49, verse 6 to 9, this has been blessing me since it got shared on one of the men's group this last week. It says, they trust in their treasures and boast in their riches, yet not one of them, though rich as a king, could rescue his own brother from the guilt of his sins. No one could give God the ransom price for the soul of another, let alone for himself. His soul's redemption is too costly and precious for anyone to pay with earthly wealth. The price to pay is never enough to purchase eternal life for even one, to keep them out of hell. But Christ paid that great price, that price that no man can pay, that price that our fathers, our mothers cannot pay, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our spouses cannot pay on our behalf. Christ paid that price. And Christ is the perfect gift of God to the whole of the world. The salvation and the redemption of our souls is the gift that God gave to us. John 3:16 gives us this context of what God did. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's that price that God paid through Christ that has redeemed us to him and has made us able to call upon him as our Father. That is the price that we are enjoying now, that fellowship that we're enjoying with God. And I would just, that's a quick recap of what we've been learning over the course of the week. But I would just go back a bit and I will ask the question, what is a gift?
Mm.
What is a gift?
Mm.
A gift is a thing given willingly to someone without payment. I checked some dictionary and the dictionary website online. I just able to find some bit of context and to understand what a gift is. They said, a thing given willingly to someone without payment, something bestowed or acquired without any particular effort by the recipient or without it being earned.
Mm.
And how does it mean when they say perfect gift?
Mm.
How does it? So the gift itself is being described here now. It's saying it's perfect. And I looked at the meaning of perfect. It said absolute, complete, completely free of faults or defects, have all that is required, all required or desirable elements.
Mm.
That's what God has given to us in this season.
Mm.
Something that is completely free of faults or defects that has been bestowed onto us without us having anything to do to earn it. That even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what is good? Good is something that is morally excellent, something that is virtuous, something that is righteous, pious, of high quality, that is excellent.
Mm.
Something of high quality that is excellent. So God has given us this good and perfect gift of his own son that died on the cross of Calvary. And he died for our sins. He redeemed us. He redeemed our souls back to God. But that's a quick recap of what we did last week. So if you were not here with us on Thursday, I would advise that you go back into on our website, on YouTube, on the Facebook, and you just listen to that message when we had our communion service on Thursday. But today I'm going to be talking about a different gift of God.
Mm.
which is what is present with us at the moment. That's what we read at the beginning. I will read from Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Ask. Thank you, Jesus.
Those who ask him. Yeah, there's a qualification, or there's a basis for you receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is you asking of God for the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14, from verse 15 to 17, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. It can neither see him nor does it know him, but you know him, for he lives in you and he will be with you." John chapter 14, from verse 15 to 17. How beautiful it is, the gift that God has given us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself dwelling in us, the same Spirit that we learned about in Genesis chapter 1, that brooded upon the waters, and out of him came that power that brought about light out of darkness, where that same Spirit created everything out of nothing. The same Spirit lives in us, a gift that we do not deserve. We've just been reconciled back to God. It's that a grace that we could not even, we did not even deserve. The mercy of God came upon us. Christ died for our sins. And then God gave us yet another gift, his own Spirit, living in our hearts, that will stay with us forever. What a pleasant gift. I mean, I was reading a book this morning, and Pastor Yongbi Cho called the Holy Spirit the divine agent to the church. That's like the executive agent, that divine agent that God has sent to quicken our hearts, to live with us, to speak to our spirits. And it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. It's the one that guides us in all truth, according to John 16, verse 13. It's the one that helps our weaknesses and intercedes for us, even in our own infirmities, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. It quickens our mortal bodies. It gives life to our mortal bodies. Romans 8:11. It reveals the deep things of God to us. 1 Corinthians 2:1-16. The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us, that gives us the understanding of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit that helps us each step and each way as we go on in life, just on the journey of destiny, on the journey of growing in perfection to what God has proposed for us to be. But one thing I realized was, when I went on to the Old Testament, I realized that Jesus told them that they should go on and wait until when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and that the Holy Spirit will give unto them power. The Holy Spirit gave unto the early church power and boldness. It's that gift that gives that power to be able to do great things and mighty things. It's that gift that God has given and deposited in us that makes us even a gift unto the world. That thing that God has given to us, that he has endued us with. But it seems like as if in modern times, the church does not seem to be walking in that same power of the Holy Spirit. Seems like as if, because we've not really had too much of communion and relationship with the Holy Spirit, the same works of power that Christ did, that the apostles did, and great men of God do, is beginning to wane down slowly. And I was asking myself, I said, okay, why is it? Because the Bible said earlier on, from what we read, it said that he will give us the Spirit of truth forever, that he will be with us forever. So how come is it that the Holy Spirit is with us and still we cannot feel that power? Because God said that we would be endued with power when the Holy Spirit come upon us. The absence of a Holy Spirit in the church in the modern world has denied the church of power and the ability to become an effective witness to the world. God has ordained us as gifts through the help of the Holy Spirit. He's giving unto us spiritual gifts, making us gifts as ourselves, even into the world. But somehow, the gift itself is not really reaching out to the world again. It seems like as if there's so much of darkness. And what happens is the darkness is always around. All you need is just the light to shine. And somehow, the light does not seem to be shining. When I was about to start today, the Holy Spirit just ministered to me about the story of the 10 virgins from Matthew chapter 25. And it showed me that when the bridegroom came, it was in the night, it was dark. It was dark right in the middle of the night. And it's the situation of what we are in now. The whole world is groping and moving around in darkness. There's depression all over. And all that we need is just the light from our lamps. The presence of the Holy Spirit is what quickens us. It's what makes us to be able to shine our light. We've been studying, meditating on Isaiah chapters 60 as a church over the course of the year. And it says, arise from your own spiritual darkness, because the glory of the Lord has come upon you. It's the Spirit of the Lord that quickens us and that makes us to arise, that shines the light of God through us, even unto the world. And is the one that makes us to become effective witnesses. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But the Holy Spirit has come upon us, but it seems like as if we are still somehow not fully in that place of the power. I was asking myself, I said, so why is it that there's no power? Why is it like as if it seems like as if the church itself is somewhat like trying to blend with the world? It's like as if we are trying to cover our own light. We don't want to shine as much as how the Holy Spirit wants us to shine. And the word of God that came to me is just that the Spirit of the Lord has been deposited in each and every of his children. If there is darkness around you, if there's chaos around you, it is your fault. It is the fact that you have not tapped into the Spirit of God on your own inside. Because the power of what God has vested in us is so great. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, it's so mighty that when we move into the workplace, at the gates of the city, in our homes, in our streets, in our communities, the light of the Lord is meant to shine to every man around us. We are meant to bring that presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell. So if you're working in a place, you are meant to bring the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell. You don't leave the Holy Spirit at home. And it appears like as if, as Christians, we have two different lifestyles. On our Sundays, on our times when we pray, we carry the Spirit of God. But somehow, we've not been able to shine that same Spirit of God. God has given us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the presence of the Holy Spirit has made us a gift even unto the world. He said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I wrote something down. I said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit showed in the early church with the evidence of speaking in diverse tongues. However, it is the constant fellowship, communion, and reliance on the Holy Spirit that generates the power that the church will need to light up the world. A few apostles lit up the whole of the world with the word of God in the early church with the power of the Holy Spirit. But now the church has grown in numbers, but has neglected that great gift that God gave to us. That gift that is meant to make us to be able to reach out to the world. He said we should go to the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It seems like as if we've forgotten that power, that grace that God has given to us to be able to reach out to the world. And somehow, the church has grown cold, and slowly we are beginning to become blended with the world and become powerless. But today I bring the word of the Lord to us, that indeed the gift that has been deposited in us is a great gift. Is that Spirit of God? Is that Spirit of God? I mean, when I was preparing for this service, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to say, you know, that same Spirit was what created the world at the beginning. Genesis 1, that same Spirit that brought light out of darkness, that same Spirit that separated the firmaments, that same Spirit that created man has been deposited into you. And all what God is saying is that go shine that light, arise from every spiritual depression and shine the light even in this dark period in the world. God is waiting for men who can carry that gift of the Holy Spirit and shine it at the different places where we find ourselves, to our children, to our spouses, to our community, to people all around us, those who have lost hope. Is the Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's us, the gift to the world, that are meant to bring that hope to the whole of the world. And God is waiting on you. God is waiting on me. God is asking, even in this season, what are you doing with the gift that I've given to you? What are you doing with that I've deposited on your inside? Oh, what God has deposited on our inside is not something small. It's not something that, oh, it's so little. Sometimes it is ignorance that does not make us to understand that priceless gift that is living in us. That's the Spirit of God himself. Oh, that Spirit of God that God has placed on our inside, not for our own benefit alone, not just for us, not just for us to have our own light and to cover it on the inside, but for us to bring our light to shine to the world, for us to be able to make the chaos around us to have the order of God. We learned about God creating and doing things in order. We are the ones that are the agents of God on this land. We are the ones that are the agents of God in the world, and we are the ones that are meant to bring the light and the order of God into the world. But we cannot do this on our own. We cannot just do this randomly. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit that quickens our hearts to do this. And brethren, I come to you today just to remind you again about that great gift of the Holy Spirit. That communion and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, which maybe we may have neglected in the time past, or maybe we are ignorant of, and that's why we've not been able to walk in that great grace that God has given to us. That we should step fully into that special gift that God has given into us, that he has deposited in us to equip and build the church and to light up the world, that we can step into that great grace. And what we read at the beginning, it said that he's able to give to those who ask. Who ask. I mean, sometimes it looks like as if the word of God is so complex, like as if it's so great. Oh, the Holy Spirit. So how do I walk in the place of the Holy Spirit? Oh, it sounds like a very big concept. But God is saying, can you just ask this morning for the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Can you just ask for that great gift from God? Can you just ask for that fellowship, that communion with the Holy Spirit? When you're going out, when you need direction, can you just ask, Holy Spirit, guide me? Can you just ask? It's just as simple as asking. Sometimes we go through the motions, we struggle, we use all our effort, and it seems like as if we're being frustrated. And all you should have done is just to ask. Just to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, can you lead me in this place? Oh, Holy Spirit, I need to do this. Can you give me a direction about this? That gift has been deposited into you. But one thing about gifts is, if you have a perfect and a good gift, and you wrap it up and you keep it in the house, it will not be of use to you.
Come on.
Neither will it be of use to the whole of the world.
Mm.
If you have a gift and you choose not to make use of it,
if
you used to keep it somewhere, it would not be of use to you. There have been times when I've had something that would have probably been of help to me, maybe to do some sort of DIY. I may have a sort of kit, but forgotten totally about the kit. Yes. And then I go through the motions of doing it manually. Can you imagine if you need to do something, let's say you've got a drill to be able to drill a screw into the wall, and you just get a screwdriver and you're doing it manually into a concrete wall. When you have a kit that can drill it in a few seconds, you've got the power in that drill. It's similar. I mean, you cannot liken it to the Holy Spirit. It's similar to the Holy Spirit. When you've got the power, even to be able to preach the word of God, you are working really hard. You're struggling. You are devising methods for business. And all you need is just to ask the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you that wisdom, that insight, that direction, that grace to do what you need to do. Just Genesis 41, verse 38, when Pharaoh was speaking to Joseph, he said, so Pharaoh asked, can we find anyone like this man in whom the Spirit of God abides? As the people around you, of the people around you at work, of the people around you in your community, ask that question. Can we find anyone like this man in whom the Spirit of God abides. And the world indeed asked that question, that can we find a man like this in whom the Spirit of the Lord abides? The key question that the apostles asked people, and that came up a lot in Acts of apostles in the Bible, is, have you received the Holy Spirit? Now, for some of us, we have different stages. Some of us have received the Holy Spirit. We've just kept him somewhere.
Come on.
Just kept him. We use him only on special times, maybe when we need to pray once in a while, maybe on Fridays. For some of us, we've not even received the person of the Holy Spirit. And the question is coming today. Have you received the Holy Spirit? And if you have received the Holy Spirit, where did you keep him? How come your light is not shining onto the world? How come is it that you are still sitting in this dark world? And when we come to your place of work, when we come to your community, we cannot differentiate you from the world. How come is it that my life is still very similar to everyone around me? I'm experiencing virtually everything that everyone is experiencing. Nothing distinguishes me. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Have you received the Holy Spirit? And if you have received the Holy Spirit, what are you doing with the Holy Spirit? Are you communing with your Holy Spirit? Are you fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? Is your spirit tuned to the Holy Spirit? This is a free gift. And because it's a free gift unto us, God does not impose himself onto our will. He doesn't impose his will onto us. The Holy Spirit does not impose his will onto us, onto our own will. But when we ask and we choose to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we start to see the power that God said that we would receive in Acts chapter 1, when it said that we would receive power. And we remember that when the apostles, when they had the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they received boldness to be able to do the things that they needed to do.
Come on.
They received boldness to be able to go into the world, to be able to reach out to the whole of the world. Now I'm asking you, you are that perfect gift to the world. And the Lord has given you the perfect gift of the Holy Spirit in your own heart. What are you doing with it? What are you doing? It's a question I will leave with you. That what are you doing with that Spirit of God? And we know that according to the gift of Christ in us, God has given unto us, each one of us, special gift, special grace. According to his word in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 7 to 16, he has equipped us with special gifts. Special gifts. But the question is, are we even seeking to even know the gifts that he has equipped us with? For some is giving pastors, for some is giving teachers, so just for the equipping and the building of the church, for us to light the world. But the question is, are we doing it? What are we doing about those gifts? Matthew 5, 13 to 16 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm going to start with that verse 13 first. Because if you feel yourself maybe in a place where you are, where you work, and you feel like as if you become like nobody really considers you. Nobody really comes to reach out to you. It seems like as if you become like a doormat that everybody tramples upon. And just like as if sometimes they forget you when it's time for the meetings and all. The question is, you need to ask yourself, it's not the fault of those people. Sometimes we tend to quickly blame others. No, they don't like me at my place of work. Oh, no, something is going on out there. No, I don't really. But the question is, are you still the salt in that place? The Bible makes us to understand that if salt has lost its saltiness, if the Spirit of God is no longer in you, if you're not being quickened by the Spirit of God and you've lost your saltiness, there's no use again. Because what happens is you throw the salt around, you trample upon him anyhow, you give him any random job that you want to give him, you make him to do whatever you want him to do. The question is, before you start to complain and grumble, ask yourself, am I still the salt of the earth in where God has placed me? And also, I learned something about the light in verse 14. if you put on a light, a candle, and you cover it up, the light will choke itself and will die out. If you carry yourself with all that power that God has given unto us, let's say we pray today and the Spirit of the Lord flows mightily into our homes and it slays you under the power of the Almighty and you become filled. And then you go back into the world and you cover that light again. You will choke that light. And what would end up being is that you will end up being very similar to the world. You become like the darkness of the world. But God is saying in this season that you are the light of the world. One in whom God wants to showcase his good deeds so that he can bring glory to his name. You are the one in whom God wants to do that great thing that he wants to do. Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise in this season. And the Holy Spirit is the one that quickens you. You're a gift to the world from God. And it's the Holy Spirit that quickens you, that helps you to be able to do that which God has proposed for you to do. And I asked myself, I said, is there a way that I've relied on our strength, on my own strength, and I've forgotten about the communion of the Holy Spirit? These are some of the areas where we let go of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We rely on our strength. We believe that we can scale a wall. Initially, we start by saying, with the help of God, I can scale a wall. Then when God has helped you a bit, you start to tell yourself that you can indeed scale the wall. And then you forget your help, the Spirit of God that leads you to scale the wall. It's the constant fellowship of the Holy Spirit that helps us to be constantly filled. The Holy Spirit is the one who can put that saltiness back into us and ensure that we are not a doormat to be trampled upon in the world.
Hallelujah.
A lot of us are fighting our own battles and struggling in the marketplace, doing all sorts to be relevant, when all that we need is the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are the perfect gift of God to the world. But only when we are fully received and stayed in that constant fellowship with the gifts that God has given to us. The first gift is the gift of salvation. The second gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit that endows us with power to be able to do the things that he has proposed for us to do. Is his Son and his Spirit, the image of Christ being formed in us and the Holy Spirit guiding us each day. Isaiah 60 again, I keep bringing that particular chapter. I would like to meditate on that, on that particular chapter. It says, arise and shine. And I looked at it. I'm a scientist, so I looked at it from the science perspective. I said, you know, for you to arise, you need power. And power is actually required for you to, for any electrical equipment to light up a dark room, you need power. Power is the amount of energy that is transferred or converted per time. That's the physics definition of power. And that power that we need, that power to arise and shine, is that power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's in Ezekiel, somewhere in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel said he got into the presence of God and he was slayed when he saw that great glory of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord told him, and God told him to arise, but he was weak in himself, but the Spirit of the Lord lifted him up. That even in our weakness, is the Spirit, there is the Holy Spirit that lifts us up. It's the Holy Spirit that, even when we don't have that strength, when we are weak in ourselves, when the word of the Lord comes, it's the Holy Spirit that quickens it in us.
Yes, Lord.
You seriously want to arise and shine in this season? Then all that you need to do is to ask God. All you need to do is to ask God for his Spirit. Ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And watch and submit yourself under the power of the Holy Spirit. In that constant communion and relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And watch how God can use you mightily. The things that you would never believe that you could do. The things that you could never imagine. The great things that God has not even brought to the minds of men. That the Holy Spirit can bring to your own understanding. For you to light up your own world. In your own sphere of influence. That the Holy Spirit can shine his light so greatly. That men will come to the rising of your light. In the name of Jesus. I just want us to pray this morning. I just want us to ask God afresh for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. His mercy is available for us. For those of us that have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, well, we've kept it, we've covered it only for ourselves. And in so doing, we've brought about a lot of gross darkness in the places where God expects his light to shine. when we've received the gift, but we've covered it, but we've not made it available to the world. I want you to ask for forgiveness. And for those of you who want to receive an infilling of the Spirit of God, I want you to just ask and just say, Holy Spirit, fill me this morning. Fill me afresh. Endue me with power. The power that activates my spirit. The power that lifts me out of depression and makes me the hope to the world. The power that makes His grace, the grace of God, to fall upon me. That with His help, I can do great things. With His help, I can do mighty things. With His help, I can bring glory to the name of the Lord. The power that heals the diseases. The power that heals sicknesses. The power that brings the dead back to life. That God can endure us again with in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the simplicity of your word.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We thank you for the gift of salvation. None of this did we deserve. But Lord, you gave it to us and you gave it to us freely. Lord, we ask as a church for yet another infilling of the Holy Spirit, that you fill us afresh from our inside in the name of Jesus. And you fill us to an overflowing that we can flow into the world and bring glory to your holy name in the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit quicken the light of God in us and let our light so shine that it may bring glory to God and even in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would hand over back to Pastor.
I just want us to take this confession, this declaration. I pray in the name of the risen Christ, the first gift we learned today, the first gift, the gift of Jesus that gives us salvation, salvation. Perhaps you're on this broadcast, on this live broadcast, you do not have Jesus, you don't know Jesus. You've learned it, we just need to ask. So right now, ask that the Lord Jesus will come into your heart, into your life, into your situation. And please, everyone watching, let's pray for everyone on this broadcast that is asking for Jesus. For salvation. Jesus will come and give salvation. Let's pray right now. The Lord has many. We don't know them, but Lord, you know them. Jesus, reveal yourself to them. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to all these people in the name of Jesus. In your glorious name. Father, thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself right now. The second gift we've learned, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Father gives to those who ask. What does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us power. He quickens us. He gives us life, power to operate in this life. So right now, every one of us, we ask. Ask. Just ask afresh. I ask. How much more shall your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, I ask again. Fill me. It's an individual thing, people. It is an individual thing. The Holy Spirit came upon everyone in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, sat upon each one, individual. It was not general. The outpouring comes, but the individual receives. Father, thank you. I receive the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, I receive you. I receive you. I receive you. I receive power. I receive strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please just declare with us this afternoon. Just declare with us. Please declare out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it again out loud. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I rise today and I shine.
Because God is my light and salvation.
I arise because the light of God shines into me. And through me into every darkness in the world. In Jesus' name, I am radiant with the glory, splendor, majesty,
and honor of the Lord. The glory and brilliance of the Lord upon me makes me to shine before nations. In the name of Jesus, people come to my light and I shine with the glory and brilliance of the Lord. I create solutions and solve problems on the earth in the name of Jesus. To the glory of God, I solve people's problems and they bring gold and silver to me. To the glory of God, in Jesus' name, in the midst of darkness, my light will always be seen and I will always shine. To the glory of God, in Jesus' name, I am radiant with the glory, splendor, majesty, and honor of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the gift of your son, Damola. You have poured into him. He has poured out. Refill him. Strengthen him. Lord, let him be the first partaker of every word you've spoken through him today. Confirm with signs following. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for the crown of glory that is his portion here on this earth and in the life to come. Father, we proclaim your blessing over him, over his wife, over his daughters, over the work of his hands. As he goes, Lord, even from today, he will begin to manifest fully as the sons of God that the world waiting for the manifestation of, in the name of Jesus. And thank you. We say to every one of us, be it unto us according to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you as I hand over